Welcome to Bad Girls Die First,
a horror podcast from two women who know their place in a slasher flick. I'm Kara.
And I'm Erin, and we want to welcome you to our very not spoiler-free podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We love connecting with our listeners, and you can find us on social media at Bad Girls Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
If you enjoy the podcast, you can share it with your friends. Leave us reviews on social media and support us on Patreon at patreon.com/badgirlspodcast.
How about everything's fine?
We went to a movie theater last night, and you know there was hardly anybody there, so it was fine. It was a later movie. Went to see A Quiet Place 2 because they had been kind of promoting the movie, like, come back to theaters, see the movie in theaters, and part of me was still like, I don't know. But we did it, and it wasn't bad. Everyone's still being real careful. And I really liked A Quiet Place, even despite the kid death right in the beginning, as usual.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was pretty heartbreaking. Yeah, like, so the last couple of movies that have really, like, just I didn't think to look beforehand, and now I just look every time because I'm like, you know what, fuck this, I'm not.
They have calling that on Does the Dog Die.
Yeah, all, yeah, it lists everything, so I'm like, you know what, I'm just being lazy. I you know, like, it's like, oh, I want to go see this movie, but because I fell for it with Hereditary and I fell for it with A Quiet Place because I just didn't look beforehand, and it was like the worst. Hereditary, way worse, but I had a panic attack at that movie. But It's not so much just the actual death, it's the parents and the family's reactions after that just I can't handle. and that's the whole fucking movie. In A Quiet Place, like, the kid dies right away, and then it skips forward, she's pregnant again, fuck that.
Wait, in the second one?
No, this is the first one. Oh, in the Sorry. First one. But so, like, I go into A Quiet Place 2 going, okay, I know children better die. But of course, you know, it kind of starts with a prequel of, like, day one of this catastrophic event happening where these really, really, really angry aliens come to Earth. Very animalistic, very scary, cannot see. So it's like Pitch Black meets Aliens meets Tremors meets, I don't know, it's just all over the place.
Cloverfield,
very Cloverfieldy. And so you get to see, like, if you watch the first one, then so you get to see, like, the first day of this chaos happening in a small town. So this is not grand scale or anything. Like, they really kind of enclose you into this small area, which is even more terrifying. And then it skips to day 400 something something, which is the actual sequel. And of course, right off, almost right, no spoilers, but, like, a kid does get hurt. He doesn't die, but it's like, it's still like, I go, you know, I hold my breath and I'm like, no, like, why are you doing this? Why? make better choices. Like, I can't handle all you idiots out here. Okay. And so then, and you know, A Quiet Place, it's got some, if I'm nitpicking or whatever, it's got some weird plot issues for me, just as to why people make the decisions they make. But other than that, it's terrifying. It's really good. And I was happy that was the movie that we chose to go back to the theaters with.
Nice. Yeah, we're going to see, Kirsten and I are going to go see The Conjuring 3, The Devil Made Me Do It. I think we're going to go see that on, like, Friday after work or something like that.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I don't know. People are, I don't know, whatever.
I just like all those movies, you know, it's something.
I like them. It's fun, whatever. I don't know.
We know they're not trying to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah,
they're just making a movie.
I mean, if we can have 20 Saw movies, people can handle another Conjuring movie.
If we can make a Fast and the Furious into an empire and have to watch Fast and the Furious 10K.
There are 10 movies Saw.
Yes. make everything a franchise. I don't care. I also watched Army of the Dead, and I really like that one, and people probably hate me for it. I don't care.
Oh, yeah. I watched it also, and I loved it. It was great.
I mean, it was bonkers. It was batshit crazy, but it's a fucking zombie movie in Vegas.
I don't know why people.
I think, yeah, again, we had this conversation last time, as people just have an idea in their head and they're just going to hate it because of that, whatever their hangups are.
Yeah.
And trust me, I have my own hangups. I still haven't forgiven M. Night Shyamalan, but that's another story. Hill dying on it. Anyway. so I get it. I get that those hangups happen for people. Like, John hates Zack Snyder, and I don't know what happened. I'm like, where did he hurt you? Show me on this timeline. And he's like, him and Michael Bay, it just pisses John off for some reason. He's like, they shouldn't be able to make movies. I'm like, how do you, like, it's unfair. It's an unfair statement. Anyway, I'm not going to rant about it.
I do hate Michael Bay, though.
I do too. And so it's like.
But he's also a piece of shit. So.
Yeah. You know. No, like, Zack Snyder isn't. You know, I mean, everyone's probably a piece of shit somewhere in their lives, but Michael Bay's a fuck, so I hope he doesn't listen to this ever, but no. I love Dawn of the Dead remake, and so it really just kind of brought a lot of that back for me, because I appreciate yeah. that Zack Snyder uses natural light whenever he can, and those are those little film snob shit that I don't care. Like, that's just my personal preference.
It was a fun movie. Like, it was fun to watch. I didn't care.
I love watching my city get fucking destroyed, okay? I love it. You just show me all of the Vegas destruction movies ever. I love Resident Evil Extinction. It's the stupidest fucking movie. I will watch it because it takes place in Vegas. Anyway. So, what we actually watched.
Not just talking about nothing.
Yeah. it was not Army of the Dead. Oh no, nay.
We should do an episode that's just us talking about whatever we watched that week. It's yeah. just random. It's just an hour of us talking about random shit. Okay, now I'm ready. We watched another film from India called Pari. And it was directed by Prosit Roy, and it stars Anushka Sharma, Parambrata Chatterjee, Rajat Kapoor, and Ritabri Chakraborty.
Yeah, I really liked this movie.
I did too. I had some.
I think I'm going to deep. So, yeah, there's obviously this one had a little bit more of like I could find issues. As opposed to the last movie that we watched, Tumbad. But I kind of want to dive more into Hindi horror, Indian produced film.
Yeah.
Because I don't do that enough. And they know what they're fucking doing.
They are long. I had to watch this in pieces. Which is fine. You know, both this and Tumbad were long, but it didn't feel like they were long. Unlike most American horror movies that are 2 hours long, I'm like, God damn, are we done yet?
There wasn't a lot of lag time.
No.
Like, where you're thinking, this is kind of
like really good pacing, like, and stuff in both of the two movies that we've watched.
And I had to laugh because Travis sent us a tweet about that, like, my favorite thing about a horror movie is when someone's doing the research and it's like, you know, they're in a dark library somewhere, and it's just like the comments in this thread are just all this fucking hysterical shit about those types of scenes, and he sent this like a few days ago,
right.
And so then I'm like sitting there watching it, and you know, over halfway through the movie, it happens. He's doing a Google search on like what he thinks his we'll get into it, but I basically yelled when he started doing his Google search. I was like, yes, he's Googling demons. Anyway, sorry, we can start at the beginning. Synopsis, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Arnab tries to help Rukshana, Arnab tries to help.
Also known as girl, take a bath.
Oh my god, wash your feet. That's not a judgment. We'll get there. We'll get there. Arnim tries to help Roxana, who is found under mysterious circumstances in a house. He lets her stay at his home until he discovers something strange about her. I feel like that synopsis really glosses over the whole Arnim's dad hitting Roxana's mom with his car thing.
Yeah, and killing her.
Yeah.
Murdering the mom, like, with the car. Yeah. Now, it was raining. They were chatting, which I, you know, whenever somebody talk is the driver is talking to you and they're not, and they turn to, like, look at you when they're talking, I fucking yell at people. I'm like, stop and watch the road.
Yes, especially in rain. I mean, I can only assume that, you know, they're more used to driving in rain like that than I am, because there are huge periods of time. You know, there's a whole season for it, right? It's rainy season.
It's massive.
But that was stressing me out so bad when they weren't looking at the road, because I'm just thinking, when it rains like that here, I can't see for shit. I hate driving in it.
I'm just
crying because I can't see anything. It's stressing me out.
I've driven in all kinds of weather and it's just not fun. Like the rain and fog and like the really heavy rain that just creates those walls. Yes. Like you just can't see. And if even if it's at night, or is it wasn't night here, but it was like it wasn't bright, that's for sure. So it's like the light reflects back. Yeah. So you can't even like put your headlights on, or else that'll definitely get you into an accident. Anyway, it's somebody weird.
But they have gone out to Piali's, Roxana is played by Anushka Sharma, who is also, she owns the production studio that produced the film. She's one of the producers of the film. Yeah. Parambrata Chatterjee plays Arnab, and his parents agreed, you know, basically given in and was like, fine, you can arrange a marriage. And so they're going out to meet her and her family.
And the movie opens where he's just like, it's like one of the only dull moments in the movie, but purposely dull, because it's like, there's a lot, this is also a stereotype I feel, where it's like, you know, it's a couple that's being promised to each other and they not necessarily really want it, or they're just kind of there because, oh, my parents are nagging me to get married.
Yeah, when they're, yes, you when know? He first meets her and they're like, you know, parents. They won't leave me alone.
I'm like, that's the best reason to get married, guys. Congratulations. Well, and I get that it's definitely a cultural thing, but it's happened everywhere. Like, it's just a thing. That,
yeah.
Like, it's in different stages of being phased out.
Well, my whole feeling about it is, if that is what you want to do, then who am I to say that that's not, you know.
Feels like it saves a lot of time.
Right? I have to go figure this out. Here isn't like the greatest, you know? Just
pretty stupid, actually. Although entertaining, because I get to see my friends like make fun of all these dudes that have gone toxic on them through the dating app. I'm like, what would my life be like if I didn't see this shitty fucking conversation? But other than that, it's great. That's what I said. I was like, you know what? If something, God forbid, something happens to John, I'm nope. Don't come at me, bro. Fuck that. Dying by myself. I have a womanizer. I'll be fine. So
yeah. I'll be here. That's what's going to happen. Too. We're going to Ray Gardens ourselves.
And that's, I am perfectly okay with that.
Luca and Raylan are going to take care of us.
Yeah. They're not going to like it. So they're going to do it.
Okay.
So anyway, we don't have arranged marriages. Yay. But these guys do. This man and woman are, she seems a little bit more into it. And she definitely seems into it moving on.
Yeah.
So, you know, like she's kind of more excited to be marrying
him. And I don't think it's that he's not excited to be marrying her. I think Arnab just isn't excited about anything, really. Like
No, he's an introvert. I totally get that he's an introvert.
Yeah, he's just like, I don't.
I get that energy.
I feel like he's just like, great. I mean, I don't want to go talk to other people anyway. So you're pretty and seem nice. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and you can do all the talk. You can be the face of the relationship. I'm just going to be back here reading my book. And it's copacetic and it's great. And that's awesome. And then the movie dives into hell. So. So it sets you up for this, like.
Piali is the future fiance.
She has to accept, or her family has to accept.
Yeah, they have
both.
Well, they like their parents like did the arrangement, and they met each other, and then agreed. Okay, yes, our parents can meet. We'll all meet together, and then one of them has to say yes, I want to marry you, and then the other one has to say yes. Right? It's like.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a...
Yeah, there's a whole thing to it.
Like a deal. Like a...
And, you know, arguably, they have the best weddings, so...
Oh, they're beautiful.
More power to... Yeah. Really, really high energy.
So, yeah, Arnab and his parents go out. They do the whole...
To meet the other parents.
They do the whole meet and greet. This is my kid. This is my kid. Kiss.
Do we kind of moderately like each other? Yes. Okay.
Good enough. Yeah.
Good enough. Check mark. Like, proceed. Yeah.
You know, this is just a very side note. Aziz Ansari, he's Pakistani, or his parents are Pakistani, but they had an arranged marriage. And I remember him talking about it in his book Modern Love, and like talking to had a conversation with them. Maybe it was in his show. I can't remember now. But it was basically like them talking about how, yes, they had this arranged marriage, but they love each other, and they like, just the way that they fell in love was just different than the way that we fall in love. You know what I mean? It was like this different process of it.
It doesn't degrade it in any way.
Like,
in fact,
how they like fell in love with each other. I am putting it terribly.
It's almost like, yeah, no, it's almost like the process of which the Hindu and Indian people go through marriage. It's a much deeper, and of a process. Like, to me, I'm like laughing because I'm trying to imagine my mom doing this just saying no to everything.
That's the part for
me. Not a doctor, get fucked, you know. Yeah. And so like, but in this, especially in this movie, it's like, this is what happens, and it's like, it creates these really interesting bonds, because I if I'm going into like my own marriage, we were friends first, and we were friends for fucking ever, you know, to the where like I friend zoned John like hardcore. He was mayor of the zone. And I had to get to a place where it's like, you know what, it's better to marry your friend. and it is. And now it's like every aspect of that relationship that hits, it's like, you know, intimacy, friendship, all that stuff that creates a healthy environment. And then you can open up and communicate and be like, oh, by the way, I'm also bisexual. So it's like, I mean, not later, but you know, like, these are things you can just say, and then it's fine, because it's like, you know, hey, hi, happy Pride Month, by the way. But it's a thing, you know. And people sometimes will just look at me like, what, you know, but like, no, I married a man, but and it's one of the best relationships. It is the best relationship I've ever been in, because we're really...
I would hope so.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, one of them? What the fuck am I talking about? Everything else was shit. No, no, but I mean, you learn in your relationships and stuff like that. But I'm like, this is it for me until I Grey Gardens myself. So I was just thinking, like, it's really not that different if you take a slow process, or go revisit a friendship that turns into more or something like that. So while you're looking on screen at this dude who's just bored sipping tea, he's just kind of like, well, this is the start of a much longer process.
Right.
We're stuck on the beginning of this, but it's just like anyway, so yeah, they're driving home, it's shit rain.
The dad is driving.
The dad hits Ed, and Arnab gets out to go check, and yeah, she's real dead. So then suddenly
parents did not want him to go check. They were just gonna like keep.
No, they're like, let's just leave. It was like the beginning of I Know What You Did Last Summer. They're like, who cares? Let's just leave. Which, in essence, it probably wouldn't have mattered, which is real sad. But so they take. I guess they go tell the cops and whatever, the nearby town. And they go back and they're asking people who she was because no one knows who she is. And so it leads a clue, a series of clues leads them to this shack.
She's the dog lady.
The dog lady. Yeah, they know she's
which
the dog lady.
Which is my life goal.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, tell me more. Tell me more about this. And she is indeed. She has a stick that they know is the dog lady. It's her dog lady stick. Leads it to a hut guarded by dogs. A whole bunch of little mutts. Little cute mutts. That are not that nice. And they're kind of treated mean by these cops.
No, they like pet them and stuff. Yeah. They like got them.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
That one like yelped. Maybe I was, Well, yeah, so they enter this hut and there's a woman chained inside. And so now things are weird.
Weird.
Let me say, like, watch it. So she's dirty. She's just dirty as shit. Like, understandably so. She's chained in a, like, a mud hut.
Right.
But she has the prettiest eyes.
Yes.
So, and that's, I think that's kind of been, because she's, like, fairy-like.
But they right? change.
Like, evil fairy. Yeah, they change depending on if she's angry or in
hungry
her.
Hungry or.
Yeah, feeding.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Really. Her time of the month.
Yeah.
But in a different way.
you don't know this starting off, but it's like when she's full of poison, basically, and has to expel the poison.
Yeah.
Because she's half demon or whatever, so she has to get it out of her system.
Yeah.
And she's a daughter of Ifrit.
Yes. And so that she goes to the...
Well, they think she's fine. They're like, oh, by the way, you're chained in this hut, but your mom's dead, so let's go take care of all of her burial shit.
Right. Well, and they're at the hospital, and he's like, Arnab is like, oh, just wants to help.
Well, yeah, he feels like, oh, my dad killed your mom.
Yeah.
Like, I should do something. Yeah. He's just sitting, and he stands there. Through a lot of this movie, actually, where he's just kind of standing there and he's like, you can tell he's thinking about something but he doesn't know quite what to say.
Yeah.
Which I really, really relate to.
He's like a character in a Wes Anderson movie.
He really is. Like, somebody put him in this movie and we're like, oh, you belong over here, sir. And it's adorable.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, right away, I'm like, this dude is just so
he's
cool.
He's so lost.
He really is. He's such a precious. He's just precious, you know? And so, of course, he's going to fall in love with a demon, because that's just what happens. Nice guys finish way last.
But they...
And I...
They go to that, like, flash to that professor or whatever.
Yeah, because they're trying to build up a story as to what this is.
Yeah.
And you still don't quite know, because it's just, like... snippets of this stuff, but you can tell this guy's been through some shit.
Yeah, and somebody is they call come to him and tell or the he's he learns about the woman get being found, right? Like somebody's
yes.
reading the paper to him.
She had the symbol of the
yes.
cult or whatever
Someone,
it was on
yes.
her branded into her arm.
Yes.
And so this dude at the morgue, which your morgue looks very unsanitary. Actually, most of this movie looks very unsanitary. It's a bit unsettling. Actually, there's a lot of dirt. There's a lot of fluids. I just don't like it. But anyway, so yeah, so she's got this mark on her arm and this mortuary worker who bugs me is like, finds it, tells whoever to tell the professor.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of part of this another cult in a kind of.
Well, you think they're like, the bad guys at first. Like,
yeah, I mean, you think they're the bad guys.
Kind of are, but like not.
They think they're doing good.
Right.
It's like the Knights of whatever, whatever. Like...
Right. They're trying to stop the other cult who is like breeding demons.
Demons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I, yes. Valid.
But you don't
it's a valid
find that out
cult.
Till later. First, it just looks like they're like killing babies or whatever. Like,
yeah, at first, it's like a lot of heavy stares and concerned looks and like chainsaws.
Yes, and that is Rajat Kapoor
is who plays the professor.
And he looks like my ex-boyfriend, and it was freaking me out. I was like, why does he look like Nate? And then they show him take his glass eye out, and Nate had a glass eye, and I was like, I don't like this. This is so weird. Stop it.
It kind of is a little bit more, it gives a horror movie a little bit more of an unsettling air, if it reminds you of somebody that you don't necessarily like, or yes, you've had a bad experience with.
Yes, it's weird.
And then I can't relate to that character at all. It doesn't even matter if you're supposed to. I'm just like, nope, there's a disconnect immediately. Thankfully, I didn't have that problem in this movie, but it's happened, so I get what you're saying.
So Arnab takes her to the morgue to identify her mother or sign for the body or something. And then he takes her back home, all of that, and leaves her there. And then later she just shows up at his house. Because the demon, comes after her or whatever.
Yeah, she gets scared. He gives her, an umbrella. You know, it's rainy season. And he's being a gentleman. And so she's kind of going back into her house, and the dogs are there, you know, but her mom's out. And I get the feeling that she probably hasn't even taken care of herself ever.
Right.
And so then this, the demon, this is possessing people or something. I don't know. It definitely looks.
Well, there was the messenger thing. That's who she sees. Because remember, the professor says that the demon can't talk. You only see the messenger. And so she sees that messenger or whatever that, you know, says that he's coming for
and
her.
It just possesses different people who in the cult or whatever, they're just trying to reach her.
Yeah,
and it's creepy. It's really, they use a lot with, there's not a lot of I wouldn't even say jump scares, but it's more like just using shadow and movement to kind of keep you on edge, and so you're feeling what she's feeling, kind of oh, I'm being watched, there's something there, it's creepy or whatever.
Well, and when he takes her home, and then the next day he's meeting with Piali, and they're that's when they're talking, really being okay, yeah, we'll get married or whatever. And you know, she's asking him questions about,
well, was that what she was telling him,
that she had had an affair with a guy,
it was something,
and then they broke up. And she didn't say anything.
Yeah.
But I, in that scene at the end, it starts raining, and she gets out her umbrella, and he has to scooch in under hers, because obviously he doesn't have his umbrella. And then he goes home, and this girl is crying under his bed. And she's
in his house already. I'm like, Jesus.
And she had like a stray run dog, for from sure, wherever that was that she lived. She had run all the way there, and her feet are all fucked up. And I just, he's like, here, take this medicine for your feet. And I was like, wash her feet first.
Oh, no, she stayed dirty way too long.
All over her feet is not going to do anything if you don't wash them.
The dirt was starting to get to me. I was like, okay, listen.
All I could think about was infection.
Let her, dirt in wounds. Let her take a fucking shower.
She had she had wounds on her ankles from the shackle things. And then her feet are all messed up from running on the ground, and then there's something crazy about her toenails for some reason.
Well, so her toenails and her fingernails grow fast because she's a demon.
Naturally.
Yeah, right? That's as a demon, they have toenail problems. She's used to butchering her feet to keep them short, because she doesn't, she's been living out in this hut. Right. She doesn't have toenail clippers.
Right.
And so he gives her toenail clippers and shows her how to use them, so she's not butchering her feet. But even leading up to this, it's just, this movie is dirty. And because showing the professor's work as he's trying to bird these different women's babies that are supposed to be demons. He puts these women in this bathtub. It doesn't change the water. Brings another woman in to give birth to her baby. And I'm vomiting. Okay. No.
Well, and I think part of it is because he doesn't they're disposable to him, because they are also part demon. You know what I mean?
I guess, they're also evil. Yeah.
He's these aren't people. These are evil creatures or whatever.
And it's, I don't know. It's just, but they're all scared, and it's kind of shitty, because it's you can tell they do have a human side. And so it's it's kind of that whole thing where if something is, I guess, part demon, but it, in the sense of like just having a their human side, it's humanity, they're nice, they can feel love, and that's kind of like what it goes into in the entire arc of this movie, is that she's not a wild animal,
right?
And you know, she's not just evil. And that's where it starts to show it with Arnab is showing her sympathy, mm-hmm. and care, and she's like, no one's ever shown me this before. Even my own mother, you know, kept me chained to a fucking stake in the ground or whatever. So of course she immediately starts attaching to this guy. I feel like it wasn't just some diabolical plot, which they make you kind of think that it's like she's seducing him, like overall, like slowly or whatever, but I feel like it was a little bit more deeper than that. I feel like this was the first person that showed her just niceness, kindness, consideration. Like, how would you not start being attracted to that?
I felt like it was kind of both. Like, some of it was like this like attaching to the person who like has helped you, you know, and then some of it is like this thing inside you is telling you that you have to like mate with him and then eat his head and then like
right. No, definite boundaries are being crossed for sure.
I'm just saying it's complex.
It is complex, and I'm not, I definitely don't deny that there was something a little bit more nefarious
and
going
I feel
on.
Like, he's just like, well, this person is not, like, hasn't been, like, forced, you know, isn't being forced to hang out with me, you know, this, it's not an arranged mm-hmm. thing, she likes me.
She almost needs him, and, like, she's, it's something.
Manic pixie dream demon.
And finally she cleans herself up, and I just sighed in relief. I was like, God. She always tends to get dirty again, but it's like my son.
She's like an animal.
It's like my son. You know, like, I give him a bath, he goes right out to the dirt, starts digging like a goddamn raccoon. I'm like, why? What? Children love dirt. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
There's this, like, okay, so she's in my apartment and I'm taking care of her or whatever. And, oh, there's still the fiance. And I'm skipping over a lot, but I don't want to give, like, every little detail away. But
well, I mean, it's kind of.
Yeah, but like, that's basically what's happening. She's slowly, like, he's teaching her stuff. He gives her, like, a notebook to draw in. She's a really good artist. You know, so all.
And he's ignoring his fiance's.
Totally.
Calls.
Yeah. So obviously she shows up because women.
And the priest is looking for.
Yes.
For Roxana, and comes to him and is like,
the professor,
hey, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Priest, professor, whatever he is.
He doesn't have a name. Is like, hey, buddy, this.
She's a demon, yo. And he's like, what are you.
No.
That's impossible.
Nah.
You have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah, I feel like if this creepy old dude came to me and was like, you're taking care of a demon, I'd be like, well, I'm at least gonna go Google it. Which he does eventually, but.
And he does have sex with
yes.
her.
Yes. Well, and it's like that, yeah, that moment where it's, yeah, it's like the caretaker and the woman in trouble, the damsel in distress, you know, it's hot.
I don't like it.
I don't either.
It's
but
weird power dynamic.
It really is, but it's just
I don't like it.
What if we reverse the role? What's his...
I'm not fine. Whatever.
It's a control thing.
It's a thing about like a person who doesn't know how to live in the world, and then this. It's just.
Both of them don't. Neither one of them really do. And so it seems kind of, it was an interesting pairing to me watching this. Like, I honestly didn't have that, like, oh, you're such a scumbag. You know, like, usually you get those feelings where you're like, stop taking advantage of this girl and just take her to a hospital.
Right.
He did try to take her to, like, a home, like,
Like a social there was like a social worker. He was trying to get her into like a
almost like for a
like a shelter.
Yeah, like a battered woman shelter or whatever. But yeah, the people in charge of that seemed abusive, and she starts cowering and getting scared, and so he is like, okay, I can't leave her here, and he takes her home. So he was trying to kind of do the right thing. He wasn't just like immediately getting into bed with this demon. He was trying to like go through the motions of like, I have this stray animal and I can't keep, like, I'm allergic to cats, I can't keep this cat, I need to go take it somewhere. But then, you know, you the attachment's already there, you can't fight it, you know, like once you've, like, I know with us anyway, I see a stray animal, I'm like, well, this is it. You're mine now, I guess. Like I would definitely fall for this demon shit.
And of course, the day after he sleeps with her, his fiance shows up because he hasn't been answering her phone call.
Because why would you be?
I have something important to tell you.
You're not answering your calls. And she like walks right the fuck in and just starts like looking through his shit. Like, no.
She's like, oh, the sketch pad that you bought for your demon girlfriend. Let me look through it.
Let me open all your doors and all your windows and look everywhere and under your bed. And like, who the fuck does this? Excuse me, lady. What?
Was that after he had already found that notepad with the drawings of the dog in it that she killed? Because she sneaks out.
Oh, yeah, we kind of glaze over that. Like, well, I said so. Like, she fills with venom. She has to discharge it into a living creature or else she, like, dies. So, but we don't know that yet, but, like, it's basically a toxin that's filling up. It's the, you know, the demonic, because, you know, evil is gross. So, just to spew it. And it's the only, like, sad moment where she kills this dog. She has to, like, bite it and put the poison into the dog. The dog dies. And then she draws his sad face in her notebook.
Yeah. And he sees the notebook, and then he sees the, like, people standing around the dog.
Mm-hmm. And so he's slowly putting things together. Like, oh, the professor might not have been completely batshit.
Right.
But still, he gets a weird vibe from them, too, because they're also weird.
Weird, so it's there's, like, these three creepy dudes that are, like, hand me over this girl, and you're like, no.
Sweating all the time. Like, like, why are you sweating all the time? It's probably just humid, but yeah.
So the fiancé leaves, but forgets her phone and comes back and sees him with Luxana.
Yeah, he like shoves her, or like she's outside a window. She crawls on shit. She's like, she does the
like the Spider-Man, possessed
demon
like,
shit. Yeah, yeah. She's climbing up the walls. That's and so she's like, when the girlfriend or the fiance is like looking through everything, she's like hanging outside the window. Classic move. But she comes back in, and they're in an embrace, and she's like, oh, wedding's off.
But then he goes back to priest because he sees her. What did she do? She does something crazy that he's like.
Well, no, because he was followed by the one more guy.
Right, right.
And so, and he, like, the more guy attacks him with a brick. Sorry. with a brick. And so he goes home and is like, are you like, what's. These people are telling me that you're like not who you say you are or whatever. It's very cryptic because he's very out of it because he's so.
Oh, yeah. And she's like, oh, by the way, she's acting like they're like together or whatever because they had sex once. Mm-hmm. And like,
And she's like saying she loves him. Yeah. She's trying to practice thing.
I remember.
Yeah. And so she's like welcoming him back. Like she's trying to pretend like to be the wife and everything. Yeah. Because I mean, it's more like I got like innocent child, just not. Understanding, like she's just like trying to mimic what she's seeing around her and stuff like that.
I don't know. I think it's both. I think some of it is the demon too, like going, okay, mm-hmm. you know, you're mine now.
Yeah, definitely. Well, if you're half demon,
and then she tells him that she's pregnant, and he's like, "Oh, the priest was right. She is trying to have my demon baby."
Mm-hmm. So he goes and Googles demons
in a library.
in a library with intense music.
And a voiceover.
And a voiceover. So we can learn too. So we can learn all about it. Thank goodness.
And then he just turns her over to those priest dudes.
Yeah, it was
He's so like, okay, sad. Here she is. And they chain her up and then he leaves and he goes to his parents' house and goes in his old room and he doesn't leave his room for like, what, like a month?
Yes. Well, yeah, because it takes a month for the baby to, because instead of 9 months, an evil baby is born in a month.
Yes, evil baby.
Those are the rules.
The gestation period for a demon baby
is one month. Yeah, everyone knows
moon
that.
Cycle. Okay. I think is what the priest said.
Yes, one lunar cycle. And it's sad. It's just.
It is.
And this is where I was getting more of the. And I'm not saying that, you know, the evil part wasn't in play, but at the same time, it was like, this is a human. You're torturing her, and you're just gonna kill her and her baby.
Yeah.
And that's sad.
Yeah.
Even though it's going to be like an antichrist or whatever. But, and it kind of reminded me just the concept in general, and especially moving forward with how it ended, was Rosemary's Baby.
Yes, that's what I was going to say earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It reminded me of Rosemary's Baby. And so he, like, the fiance is like, yeah, hey, man, why have you not been, well, you've just been shut up in this room, not talking to me, not talking to anybody else. Like, what the hell's going on?
After I caught you with another woman.
Yeah, what? And so he...
He's like, well, actually... Funny story.
And he tells her everything. Mm-hmm. And she's like... I really liked her a lot. She's very chill mm-hmm. about the whole demon thing.
Yeah, she took it extremely well.
He tells her everything, and then she tells him that she had gotten pregnant when she was with that other guy and that she'd had an abortion and yeah, everything.
She,
and
she alluded to that before, but then it was, right. Yeah, it was like...
She wasn't ready to tell him.
Yeah. And well, and there's other visual aspects throughout the movie that you know that she's struggling with the fact of being pregnant, having a baby, anything like that, because she's like, she's a nurse. And she was like, there's a scene where a woman was delivering a baby and she could not fucking handle it and she had to leave. And, you know, so you see that she... As much as you don't get a big attachment to the character, it's still a good character.
She's a really good character, yeah.
Yeah, you see her struggle.
Yeah.
It's just not focused on her, is what I should say. It's you don't get a lot of that depth, but you get enough, you know, and it was already a 2-hour something movie. So.
Well, and so she's like, her response to him telling her all this stuff about this demon and impregnating this demon is just like, you know, this is what happened to me. You need to go take care of her or whatever. You know, why did you?
She just
you
saw
just
the
left
she
her.
Saw the humanistic side. Yeah.
So he goes and, well, she's escaped and killed the priest and drew a picture of his fiance and is going after her. So.
Yeah, because there is like this element of jealousy,
of
and
jealousy,
you do see it again, like previous, like when she shows up at the house initially, like you can see Roxana get mad about it, like, you know, she's mad that she has to hide, she's, you know, all that stuff. So obviously that's in her head. That's who she's gonna kill next or attack.
And she hasn't had the baby yet.
No, but she's getting pretty ready. It's right there, lunar cycle ending.
She goes to go kill Piali and doesn't succeed. But Piali, I was like, it was both like it was like both a very sweet and like cool thing that happened, and also I was like, goes and tries to kill her, and so Piali locks herself in another room, and then Roxana clearly goes into labor, and Piali is like, shit, she's gonna have this baby. Fuck, god damn it. I guess I have
God
to help her.
Damn it. How dare you? How dare you, madam?
So she goes and helps her, like, birth her baby, her demon baby. I was like, man, you are, like, the coolest person in the world.
Yeah, she's super chill about everything. Very understanding.
She really is. She's very, like, pragmatic, and I really like... You're right, like, we don't see a lot of her, but the development, like, the what you do get of her character is really interesting, especially since I feel like in the first scene, I don't think you're meant to not like her in the first scene, but you're just meant to not care. You know what I mean? Like, oh, she's this girl, and he's obviously the focus, and this is all just
and
an
you
arrangement.
See that she's kind of trying to get him to talk, so she's obviously like the, I don't want to say pushier one, but maybe because yeah, you know, then yeah. she goes into his fucking apartment later, so maybe she's a little pushy. But she's driving the conversation, basically. That's who she is. So I feel like she's like the event planner, you know, like she's going to deal with the shit if, and it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, breaking, the car breaks down and she has to fix a flat, or if, the woman who your fiance knocked up with demon baby is going into labor. She's going to fucking handle that shit.
Yep.
So I feel like Piali, I need on my team because she's just going to get shit done.
And he shows up there, and Roxana has peaced the fuck out, and the baby is there.
Well, yeah, and this is where wait. So the demon babies aren't born with umbilical cords,
right?
And belly buttons, because they don't have time to like, because having such a fast gestation yeah. and they're evil means that they just kind of form on their own or whatever. They're assholes for because they don't have an umbilical cord. I don't fucking
know.
It's
not science.
Yeah, I don't know. But this baby does. And it's because it really was conceived out of love. Or there's that aspect. It's not going to be evil because Roxana really did love him. Really did love Arnab. And that's where I was kind of piecing little things here and there, that it was more of the love than it was of the evil.
Yeah.
And that's the whole, you know, and that's, you know, the tale as old as time. Love triumphs over evil. Even though it has to kill two cults to do it.
So then Piali and Arnab just
have their baby.
That baby.
Raise that baby, yep.
Which I think part of what played into that is that I don't think she could have kids.
Right. Yeah. Because she got
right after
abortion
that, because that abortion was probably shitty.
Yeah. Messed her up. Yeah.
And so she couldn't have kids.
Yeah.
They never said that outright. Right.
Yeah. They, like did I said, they?
Did they?
They might have said, yeah, see, this is, it is subtitled, so I probably didn't read all of it. But yeah, it was definitely, even if you didn't catch it in the actual dialogue, it was pretty clear by the imagery and just watching her face when she dealt with babies or, you know, anything like that. Like, she was just
the importance of, like, her. Even
oh, yeah.
Before.
No, she did tell him, because she goes, if we're going to get married, I need to tell you that we can't have kids. Sorry.
Okay.
Super blank. It was that umbrella part, too. So.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, you know, I need to watch it twice before I can
yeah, I know.
analyze. But hey, it leaves parts for the listener to go and watch this movie. But yeah, so she kind of gets her baby in the end, because Roxana is like I said, the poison, she has to disperse of this poison or she dies, and so she decided not to, so it killed her.
We didn't see her die. She just, like, left.
Yeah, she just left, and so maybe somehow she will survive, and there'll be a party, too. I don't know. But she was very almost, like, fairy-like, and in the sense where I see fairies, they scare the shit out of me, so, like,
yeah, the fae
are dark yeah. assholes.
Which so. Did you notice that, which now that you remind me of that, because that the priest is the one who said, like, she's a fairy or whatever, or that's mm-hmm. what the English translation was,
yeah,
in the subtitles,
but not
the kind you see in fairy tales. In the beginning, Arnab's dad has a Tinkerbell hanging from his rear view mirror.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I remember that, because I wrote down that I had that Tinkerbell in my car in high school.
Yeah, a lot of people
did. And when I
saw
that, I had this really weird, like, deja vu, because I got it at, like, Disney World, and it was in my car for, like, through college, probably. Like, I had that in my car for, like, 6 years or something like that. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, man, weird.
Bringing some stuff back. Because those are that's the first imagery that we get as children for fairies.
Yeah.
And then if you're dark and morbid like some of us, you go into to the darker side of the Fae. They're not fun.
So one of the things that I was wondering about, because so she was one of the babies that was born in those bathtubs or whatever, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So then is that why, because we didn't talk about it, but like
the mom escaped.
Puts her head in a bucket of water to, and that's how she remembers things that happened.
It's also so, like, how she closes the demons out too, so she can kind
of
focus.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Yeah. So water is obviously a conductor of some, it's often used, right, in well, like Constantine.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's the plane between our world and whatever otherworldly plane you're trying to get to, and that's always kind of the deal. So I like that imagery as well, is using the enclosure of just, even if it was like the freezer, which is frozen water, obviously. So it was like both. I like that a lot. But yeah, it was her mother that escaped the professor dude and went on to become the dog lady.
Yeah, I really liked this movie and I want to watch some more. I have a list of like other horror movies from India that I really want to watch,
but I didn't. This is a movie that I could watch again for sure. It did have some, like, I mean, if I were nitpicking, it had some wonky green screen type stuff, but that's all just because we're used
to. When was
that? It was like if she was looking at herself, because she was, you know, she's in her little, you know, she's being tormented by the demon. And when she was in the woods and the demon was talking to her, like, you could tell there was something strange there. Like, you could really see that it was superimposed. But I don't generally care about that kind of stuff. I was just like, when we're looking at the previous movie that we watched, where a lot of that was just, it was practical effects, but still was really cool.
Super realistic. Yeah. Looking, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's about all I have. As long as they are, there's really not dull moments in there. You just have to pay attention.
Yeah.
And if anything, they're teaching me to pay more attention a little bit, because my brain really does want to go everywhere. It's hard to get it to come on in.
Yeah. Bring it in.
Focus. Bring it on in. Focus. And my brain's like, nah.
I really want to watch. I want to watch some more movies with the guy, these actors in it, because I really liked all three of the love triangle.
Yes, they were all really good. Anushka Sharma's super pretty. She's just really classic beauty. Has the paler skin but freckled, and just really beautiful eyes. And that's really kind of, she looked like a fae. Like what I would think.
Yeah,
I liked that. And that was simple imagery that they kind of threw at you that made you, you're like, I don't know why I feel weird, but there's something wrong here.
Clean Slate Films is the name of her production company. And Pari was the third film that they put out.
Oh, awesome.
And this was Prosit Roy's first
directorial
first
I did,
movie.
I
yeah.
did read that, yeah. Yeah. Good job.
Oh, and Pari means fairy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's a Pari. Yeah.
I think he has some other stuff, something else, like, coming up, maybe. Oh, he's got a series that's going to be on Amazon Prime. I don't know if it'll be here or not.
I mean, eventually, usually, they wide release it, if it does well. I realize that production companies are an interesting and very, very broad, like if you watch the beginning of this movie, there's like 18 different production companies that they show you at the beginning, and like that, and that actually happens in American films too. You have the smaller production companies, and then you have, you know, Universal that buys the, you know, the bigger ones, and everything trickles down from there. So it's like there's so many people involved in these movies. It's another reason that when people are bitching about the Snyder cut or whatever, I'm like, you know how many assholes told Snyder that there's no money to do what he wants, you know, like, so anyway, not to bring that back in. I'm just saying,
well, like, look at Nightbreed.
Right. Yeah, like, hey, what the fuck, it was poor Clive Barker, man. He's like, I just want it to make sense. But and the same thing with like Ridley Scott. Like, that's Ridley fucking Scott. He still gets told no.
No.
Because it's just like, we can't do this. Like, don't make an alien film. And he's like, I'm going to make an alien film. And they're like, but don't. And so he kind of makes an alien film, but it just pisses me off. Because it's the last screen of the entire movie.
Prometheus.
Yep. There are certain movies that I will bag on. But I recognize that it's not any one person's fault. You know, like, it's just shit happens, you know?
Well, and like I think we talked about before, that movie was not made for people who are fans of Alien.
No, it was, but it should have been. It should have been.
And that movie was made for people like... That movie was made for people like me who don't know anything other than, like, they saw the first movie and just thought it was a pretty movie. Well, you can find us on social media at Bad Girls Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And you can listen on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. And
watch horror. Be scared. Have fun.
Medical authorities have concluded that in all cases, the killers are eating the flesh of the people they murder.